This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I'm fired up, and I'm starting to hate Aaron Rodgers. I never thought that was possible. It's not his fault. It's just this story, this whole idea, whether we have the right theories, whether we're operating with the correct information or not. This whole thing just annoys me to no end. Every part of it annoys me, and I got sucked into talking about it because it annoys me. And I'm trying to make logical sense out of the whole thing, and sports very rarely follow any semblance of logic, right? And we buy into that as fans because we're both irrational and illogical. And here I am trying to spew logic. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. But I do love the debate. That part is fun for me. It lights me up on a Friday morning now. So good morning to you if you're just waking up. Well, you've missed the party. But don't you worry. We've got space left for you. A few balloons still. Maybe a couple of cupcakes. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Now I want a cupcake. That's not good. Sometimes, can I tell you a secret? I get home on a Friday morning and I feel as though I should reward myself for having survived another upside down work week. And so in addition to my eggs, maybe I'll have some steak, which is delicious on a Friday morning, by the way. Or sometimes, and this really is a bad habit that I need to put the kibosh on immediately, sometimes I'll have my eggs and then I'll have a piece of chocolate. Or I'll have my bowl of cereal with fruit and then I'll just have more cereal. I don't need to be eating two bowls of cereal. I need to stop eating extra breakfast right before I go to bed. It's a bad habit. But then when I was on vacation, I threw all the good habits out the window. I didn't care. It was vacation. So I ate two desserts a day and I was good with it. Now I got to get back and be disciplined again because that's the time of the year we're going into. And I suppose the extra exercise will definitely help me get back into shape and be ready to go. So, yes, training for a half marathon. I found two in the fall that I could run in my area without having to travel. And I think I may connect with my neighbors, actually. This is kind of cool. I just happened to be talking about it with my next door neighbor, and she mentioned that she runs half marathons. And so we may be able to run one together, which is awesome. So training plus yard work. Never, ever, ever, ever. Note to self, never, ever, ever, ever leave your lawn for 3 weeks in the springtime again. It was turning into a jungle. And so it took me 90 minutes just to clean up the front yard and mow it. But boy, I'm super proud now. And I think they'll allow me to stay in the neighborhood for a little bit longer. They can't see the backyard, though. That's critical. The backyard is surrounded by a privacy fence, so they can't see what the backyard looks like. But that is my Friday afternoon task. Tame the backyard because the weeds are threatening a coup. So that's what I'll be doing to start my weekend. But it's all right. Good exercise. You burn a lot of calories, and then I can eat more dessert. Right? That's how it works. Back to the cupcakes. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We got sucked in. We got sucked into the vortex, you guys. And after talking about the Packers situation with our resident GM, so Randy Mueller joined us from Seattle earlier in the show, in fact, to start the second hour, and because he's a former executive of the year, not only a GM, but has also worked with the Seahawks in different capacity. I wanted to know his opinion about the Aaron Rodgers / Packers standoff. And his comments were insightful. Sort of. I was trying to pin him down, and he really wouldn't allow me to pin him down. But spinning off of that, we got sucked in, and we put up a poll. I guess I could blame Brian, but I can't actually blame Brian because I'm the one who told him to put up the poll just to gauge what you all think. And so we've got a poll up on Twitter. It started with our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Now it's on mine, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. And we're asking you, if you were general manager of the Packers, so put yourself in Brian Gutekunst's shoes. How would you go about fixing the Aaron Rodgers situation? Such a benign word, situation. I could think of a few others. Would you trade him? Would you pay him? Would you wait him out? Do nothing? Brian and I briefly discussed, should we make as the third option, call his bluff? But I wanted to explain it. Call his bluff meaning, hey, man, if you want to retire, go ahead and see if he actually does it. And then our last option is, would you call Jeopardy? Because we're funny like that. Anyway, so those are the four options on our poll. And we've got some healthy activity so far, plus Facebook, you're all about it. So check it out and let us know what you think, because I got sucked down the vortex, the Aaron Rodgers vortex. And while we're here, we might as well get to the bottom of things, right? By the way, thought it was kind of funny as we were going through audio last night before we started the show. This one caught Brian's ear and also caught my ear as well. When Andy Reid did an interview on, I think it was NFL Network, about the schedule, and he was asked specifically about Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs clashing with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers in week number 9, he just went ahead and answered the question like nothing was going on.
We've got some good quarterback matchups, that being one of them. I mean, you know, Rodgers is going to go down as one of the all-time best ever, and I know those two have a relationship. They do those commercials together, and so there'll be that nice competition between those two, and obviously they've got a bunch of good players, and so we'll have to be ready for that one.
No way Andy Reid is touching the personnel situation and the debate with a 10-foot pole. But yeah, what can you do? You just have to move forward and operate as though in May, Aaron Rodgers will be a member of the Green Bay Packers come week number 9, which is so far down the road. Now, I'm not checking, but I would assume it's early November, something like that. I don't know the exact dates, but yeah. Let's not be jumping the gun yet. It's May. No need to be breaking down game film on Rodgers or any other quarterback, although Andy Reid, certainly, if anyone was going to comment, I mean, he was obviously part of the Green Bay coaching staff when they won their Super Bowl with Brett Favre. So he was one of the coaches of Brett Favre and very often tells great Brett Favre stories. So yeah, he's maybe got some equity there if he wants to talk about it. Matt Nagy is in the same division, the Chicago Bears. And I'm sure if you didn't hear it, you know that when Justin Jefferson told Jim Rome that he'd be happy if Aaron Rodgers got traded, that you know he's being serious. Every team, every player in the NFC North outside of Green Bay would be thrilled if Rodgers was no longer in the division, right? Why not? But Matt Nagy, he was asked instead about what he looks at when the schedule first comes out.
The first thing we look at is who's that number one opponent, you know, because we start prepping right away and trying to get a little bit of a head start there, just as every coach does. And then you start to look at the prep of where are you going? Do you have any games that are back-to-back at home, back-to-back on the road?
It's interesting because most guys, we've heard them say byes. We've heard them talk about who your season opener is. But I appreciate what Randy Mueller said earlier is that, for the most part, nobody is looking at the schedule this closely in May. You rarely even know that it comes out. You already know your opponents. You're not super concerned about what order they come in, not in May. And it's only recently that the NFL has turned it into a thing. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. The NFL at this point has a lot of work to be done behind the scenes. So teams are signing their rookies, not as complicated as it used to be. But I asked Randy, what else are they working on now? And he had some interesting answers. It's kind of a quiet time for us as fans. sort of. The NFL never really lets us enjoy our quiet time and enjoy our offseason. But he was talking about all the different things that are going on in the front offices and behind the scenes right now. So great conversation with him. You can check that out on our podcast, AfterHoursAmyLawrence.com. Though, I want to bring back the part in which he answers the questions about Aaron Rodgers. So we'll do that in 10 minutes here. So this is your warning. This is your spoiler alert. If you do not want to hear it, well, then make sure you change the channel. I'm just giving you fair warning that we are going to share his response as a former general manager and top NFL executive. All right, the latest from the march to the playoffs. In the NHL, the Colorado Avalanche have locked up the President Trophy. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. It just means you have a target on your back, actually. Think Washington Capitals before they finally won the cup. Think Tampa Bay Lightning when they were ousted by the Columbus Blue Jackets in the first round a couple years ago. Now, they got their redemption, as did the Capitals a year later. But it guarantees you a whole lot of nothing except you do have the overall number one seed and you get the home ice again this year, which is great. So the Colorado Avalanche, they've got that overall number one seed. In the NBA, I say beware of the Miami Heat. This is a team that, now I don't much believe in superstitions, but if you did, the fact that they're sitting at a five seed would be more than enough warning, because that's how they made the NBA finals a year ago, is from the five seed in the East. But the idea that this team has that experience from last fall in the bubble and that they've got such an edge to them. And we know that starts with Jimmy Butler, but it's not just him. Bam Adebayo is learning from the best and Udonis Haslam, and we'll get to UD in a second. By the way, Brian, just really quickly, do we have UD? Because I've seen him on TV, so will you check our audio cuts to see if we have him talking about getting ejected 3 minutes into his first appearance of the year? He's the captain for the Heat, and for reasons other than what he brings to them on the court. Anyway, so they've now won four consecutive games, eight of their last 10. They're playing some of their best basketball of the year. And Jimmy Butler, who, again, brings the edge, brings the tude, he knows that they can compete and match up with anybody.
Taking three steps, exactly three steps in the right direction. But it is important that we be playing our best basketball right now. We're confident, steady breathing life into one another and enjoying each other's success. I think that's what's going to carry us from here on out.
They will not be intimidated. When he says they're confident, again, it starts with him. He sets the tone there. They won't be intimidated, and they're full of fight. And actually, I think it's so telling that in yesterday's game against the Sixers, so they were taking on a Philadelphia team who got clobbered, just completely got clobbered. Joel Embiid didn't play well. He's been recovering from the flu and just was off a little bit. And so they got hammered. And here are the Heat, who at the end of the game, late stages of the game, whatever it was, they're cruising to another win and enjoying this and feeling like they've got a familiar rhythm. And Udonis Haslam gets into the game for the first time all year. Okay, he lasts all of 3 minutes before he gets ejected. Three whole minutes. And Eric Spoelstra calls his ejection for fighting the best moment of the year. That comes from Spo. The best moment. He said it's his favorite moment of the entire season when Udonis Haslam got ejected 3 minutes into his first appearance. And he said, because it's the fight. It's the fight that UD shows. It's the passion. It's the intensity. And that's what these Heat, well, that's what they feed off of, but that's what they bring to the table, not to mention the confidence from a year ago. It was kind of funny, though, to hear from guys like Bam Adebayo after the fact when the win was in the books and they could joke about their captain.
I was like, you can't get tossed in your first 4 minutes, bro. Like, how long was he in the game? Four minutes? Three minutes and you get tossed. I said, OG, you taught me a lot, but you ain't never teach me to get tossed in 3 minutes. Like, that is something you've always been like, it was kind of like a big brother moment, but I got to be big bro at that time.
3 minutes. That's all it took, 3 minutes. Brian, did you find something? Oh, wait, Brian's on the phone. So Brian's working with us on this edition of the show because producer Dave is out again. And sometimes when we switch peeps on the other side of the double pane glass, I am, I'm still, well, it's hour number four. But sometimes it takes a little time to get used to what they do versus what Dave does. So whatevs. We're just chugging along through this final hour of the week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Pretty much everything is set in terms of teams in the NBA postseason, though the seeds are still very much up for grabs. So Philadelphia did not clinch the overall number one seed in the East. The Nets are within a game, but all of the playoff spots, save one, have essentially been claimed. So the only one that's still up for grabs, and this would be epic, if the Bulls somehow manage to catch the Wizards. The Wizards have, actually both of these teams, have two games left in their season, and there are two games separating the Bulls and the Wizards in the standings. Wizards have dropped two games in a row. Could you imagine? Fit to be tied. Russell Westbrook would be fit to be tied. But right now, that's the job that's facing the Chicago Bulls. So that number 10 spot in the East is still up for grabs, or that last spot in the play-in tournament. In the West, the Blazers and the Lakers are both into the playoffs. Now, technically, they haven't clinched, but there's nobody else. Everybody else has been eliminated. It's kind of weird to say it this way, but the reason they haven't clinched, quote unquote, is because we don't know which team will be number six and not have to go through the play-in tournament and which team will be number seven. They're only separated by a half game. Portland lost to Phoenix last night. Gosh, talk about painful. Robert Covington had two free throws with 4.5 seconds to go. Missed them both for Portland. They're up one. Right. So he makes even one of those. And this is a completely different story. Maybe they go into overtime, maybe not. But he misses both free throws with 4.5 seconds to go. There's a foul called on the other end on an inbounds. Portland didn't like the call. A lot of people didn't like the call. Regardless, Devin Booker ends up on the free throw line, makes both with, 2 seconds to go, I think. And so that one's particularly painful because Portland had it. This was their game to win. Dame scores 41, and then it comes unraveled at the end. And Covington, I'm sure, feels crappy about missing those two free throws. And obviously, Booker then capitalizing on the foul makes his two free throws. And the Suns nip the Blazers by one. And Dame was, he was real upset, and he takes everything so personally. But here are the Blazers. One game to go, a half game up on the Lakers. So the defending champs could actually get to the point where they don't have to go through the play-in tournament. And it would be just like the Blazers. I hate it for Dame because he pours everything into it. Heart, soul, blood, sweat, and tears. And he feels it. He really feels it. But for now, that's where they are. One game left, and they're hanging on for dear life. But they will see postseason basketball in some form or another. And both the hoops and the hockey seasons end this weekend. All right, 855-212-4227. There's stuff going on behind the double pane glass. There's a flurry of activity. I know that some of you are wanting to weigh in on the phones. And so we'll get to your calls. Brian's going to answer those during the break. I want you to hear from Randy Mueller, former NFL Executive of the Year, what he would do if he was the GM of the Green Bay Packers, and then take our poll on Twitter as well as on Facebook. And we'll get back to your reaction as we head up toward the top of the hour on what is now a Friday morning. Cupcake. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Here's Amy Lawrence.
Callers are the spice of life. If Twitter is the bane of my existence, well, it used to be. I don't really let it bother me anymore. Callers are the spice of life. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's funny because I've got a few of you telling me, talk about something else. This is not interesting. And yet the rest of our social media is blowing up, right, with people. We're not reinventing the wheel in sports radio. I know you like to hear about my Grammy and my dog, but, I mean, people obviously have opinions about Aaron Rodgers. Otherwise, it wouldn't still be a topic. And I do think it's even more fascinating because we don't actually know what's happening. It's a lot of speculation, which just fuels the fire. So earlier in the show, Randy Mueller, former NFL Executive of the Year, longtime GM and front office guy, he joined us from Seattle. And we talked about a lot of great stuff. It wasn't all about Aaron Rodgers. In fact, we didn't even start with Aaron Rodgers. We were 13, 14 minutes in before I asked about Aaron Rodgers. We talked Saints. Oh, the Niners quarterback situation. He had some really good thoughts on that. We talked about, you know, what do you do post-draft? How do you know when rookies are ready? He even gave me his thoughts on Tim Tebow. So a really good interview with Randy. But because we're in the throes of Aaron Rodgers debate, I asked him what he makes of everything that's swirling out of Green Bay.
Yeah, it's definitely been a mess, that's for sure. I think that's probably the best term. It's been a mess. It's been cumbersome. But it's been something that's been there. I'll be honest. I wrote about this a year ago after the draft of Jordan Love. I just felt like this was going to be a problem at some point. And I agreed with Packers. I think it's great that they drafted him, but they just didn't handle it very well, right? The GM, the president, everybody, you know, that's a place that doesn't have an owner. So there's no Robert Kraft to come make peace between the coach, the GM, the star players. They don't have that. So I just don't know if the Packers have ever valued their stars because there's no owner, right? They have advantages because they're a publicly owned team, but they also have disadvantages. And the billions of dollars that Robert Kraft has made, he understands who's buttered his bread. When Tom Brady wasn't happy that Garoppolo was there, guess what? Tom Brady went right to Kraft, and the next week he was traded. They don't have that option in Green Bay just because of the structure of their ownership. So it's been a mess. I think it embarrassed Aaron last year when the quarterback got picked and he knew nothing about it. I don't think it's a coincidence that he leaked this information and it kind of came back to the Packers the morning of the draft this year where they were embarrassed as well. How this thing gets solved, I don't know. I mean, I think the two have to be independently dealt with. I said for the last 6 months, they ought to find a way to sign Aaron Rodgers. And now, because he's the MVP, guess what? The price of poker is way high. It is way high. So the only thing that maybe solves it all is throwing money at Aaron Rodgers. You got to make him the highest paid guy in the league, and so be it. He did play like it last year. So maybe that solves it. I don't know. If they do end up trading him, it's not going to be till September. So we haven't heard the end of this story for sure.
Okay, well, let me ask you about that, Randy. And Randy Mueller's with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio, former executive of the year in the NFL yourself. If it's me, and I'm obviously not a general manager, nor have I ever pretended to be one, but if it's me, there's no way I trade him. I call his bluff. If you want to retire after an MVP season, if you really think you're done playing football, okay, well, then I guess we throw Jordan Love in there earlier. But I'm not trading you to another team in the NFL. I just don't – that to me makes no sense. However, let's just say you're in Brian Gutekunst's shoes. How do you handle it?
Well, I agree with you. I wouldn't want to have traded Aaron Rodgers on my tombstone, that's for sure. And that's a bad position to put Brian in. It's probably not fair. But when they drafted Jordan Love, they thought they had control of the Aaron Rodgers exit plan. He kind of disturbed that by playing good, which in a sense is good news in itself. But they're going to have to find a way to exist without Aaron Rodgers. They thought it wouldn't have happened for a couple years. Well, now it's happened. So I don't know. I mean, it's a tough deal. Not trading him, I understand that. I don't think if they do trade him, it'll be until September. But here's the thing. Without Aaron Rodgers, this is not a Super Bowl team.
Right.
So they would have to get something back, and I don't believe in the draft picks back make it well either. They would have to get a quarterback back. They would have to get a couple of proven players back. Some assets that make us still a Super Bowl contending team. So short of that, I don't know how it works out. Either he becomes rich or they get multiple players back that we can still, you know, for the good of the team, say we're a Super Bowl contender. I just don't know about that.
Just pay the guy. If that's what it takes, if that's all he's about is the money, just pay the guy. There's no way, like Randy says, that I end up with he traded Aaron Rodgers on my tombstone. He's the reigning NFL MVP coming off a career year. I am not trading him, period. End of sentence. Cherry on top of that sundae. All right, 855-212-4227. We'll get back to your stuff and your reaction. And, man, the debate on our Facebook page is, well, it's lengthy. And in addition, by the way, if you want to weigh in our poll, we've got it up on Twitter after hours. CBS, This is just the perfect way to launch into the weekend, is it not? Ooh, and it's payday too, which is kind of great. I had forgotten until just a moment ago. Woo, happy Friday.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
That'll wake you up on a Friday morning. Little Eddie Money. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. This debate has fired me up on what is now a Friday morning. I wasn't even intending it to be a football Friday. I can't remember, though, what else I was planning because Aaron Rodgers hijacked the show, or I allowed him to. It was just such a good conversation with Randy, and then I kind of got spun into what I would do if I were a GM and thought I would ask you, and well, here we are. So if you've heard too much of this, well, you should know sports radio isn't out to reinvent the wheel. I'm not trying to talk about stuff no one else has ever talked about in their lives. I'm good having the conversation every now and then. And actually, I was gone all last week, so I didn't have the conversation about Aaron Rodgers. I was blissfully unaware. 855-212-4227. Matt is in Ohio. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, what's up? Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Before I make my point, I just want to tell you something funny. The last break that you had, you were replaying all the people that called, and apparently there was a guy named Matt, and he didn't answer, and the replay of the phone call was, Matt, are you there? And I'm like, I'm there. And it was just...
You thought it was for you?
I thought it was for me, and I felt like an idiot.
Oh, no. Nobody would have known if you hadn't have just told that story, but that's great. Thank you.
So Aaron Rodgers, man, look, it's funny to me because if it were like a real-life scenario, like I'm at my job, you're at your job.
Yes.
And you went up to the president of the company or whoever your boss.
Yeah, we have a GM. Went to the GM.
Yeah, and said, hey, work's been great, but I really just am not happy with the people that are here. So if you could just consult me before you have any interviews or hire anybody, that would be great. And they would look at you like you were absolutely crazy, and you would probably get a drug test afterwards.
Or fired, one or the other.
Yeah, no doubt. So I just think it's absolutely asinine. Like, he's a quarterback. When it comes down to it, he's a really great quarterback. They have people in the front office that control staffing. They have scouts that tirelessly watch players and go through the whole NFL for free agency and everything like that. And he has no business getting into all of that. Like, I understand he wants some kind of feedback or something.
Input,
I get it,
maybe. Yeah,
but at the same point, it's asinine. Like, you are hired to do a job. It's really that simple. Obviously, it's on a grand stage and he's a great quarterback and all that, but still, I mean, he should be the quarterback. He should lead his team, motivate his team, and whoever's there, it's his job to make them better,
which he does. He does well.
I agree, but by acting a fool like this, I feel like he's just kind of putting like a real negative feeling into that team. I mean, if I were Davante Adams coming back next year to the season, I'd be looking at him like, "What's going on, man? Like, are we playing? Are we? What are you doing? Like, is your head in the game, or like,
are we just dicking around? Yeah, like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
So you know, it's even funnier, Matt. So to kind of carry forward what you were talking about, and I know sports at the level that they play, the money that they make, it's not real life, which is why I call it Monopoly money. I can't identify with it.
Right.
But even funnier, if I walked into my GM's office and decided that I wasn't going to work another show if they didn't give me a raise over the I'll use the term that you've used, asinine amount of money that they're theoretically paying me. Now, it's radio, so, you know, that's not, right. It doesn't apply. But could you imagine my general manager would be like, yo, there's the door. I mean, we'll have someone else right. to host for you tonight. You know, enjoy retirement.
Exactly. I think it's ridiculous, you know, and my wife asked me, I'm a huge Carolina fan, and shout out to that South Carolina guy. Hey, keep pounding. My wife asked me, would you want him there? And hell no. Not a chance.
Because he's a diva? Is that why? Because he's a diva?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a cancer. Like, we went through Cam, and Cam was great. And he had his moments where he kind of, the theatrics and stuff like
oh,
that.
Yeah.
And that was fine, but he was never over the top like this.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for having a quarterback who's at the highest level and who's the best in the game. And I understand that you would like to be consulted. And there are some teams that give their players that courtesy, right? But that was one of the things that maybe alienated Tom Brady or created created friction with Bill Belichick, is that he felt like he should be more consulted. And obviously Belichick's the alpha male there, and what he says goes. So yeah, you can ask for the input, but not every team, not every front office is willing to give it to you, even
Absolutely.
If you are a superstar. So yeah, we'll see. I mean, I kind of get the idea though, Matt, that there's a lot of what's happening that's just pure speculation and not even accurate, because that's almost always the case, that there's way more smoke than there is actual fire.
Agreed. And like you said, I think Tom Brady's the only guy to get away with it in being in Tampa. But I think, honestly, it was just kind of like they got him and he said, hey, can I play with my friends? Can I play with my friends? And they were like, heck yeah.
Well, and it paid off, obviously. But you're right. I mean, I don't think it didn't damage or destroy what they had in New England. That ship had sailed. He spent 20 years there. You couldn't have asked him to do anything more. So he managed right. to, he managed to make it work. Because why? Because he accepted his role. But ultimately it's kind of nice for him to try something different at the end of his career, which is great. Good work if you can get it, but it's not the case for every NFL player. So,
Absolutely.
All right, Matt, well, have a good weekend. Thanks so much for your phone call.
Same to you. Love the show. Have a great weekend yourself.
I appreciate that. Josh is in Texas. Josh, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, good morning, Amy. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to throw a theory out there, or a couple things. So yesterday I was listening to the G-Bag Nation with Brian Broaddus, and he always brings up great points, as you do as well. But Broaddus was saying basically how this whole thing might result in a just, you know, everybody – but both parties forget what happened come the season, and you know that's what it'll end at. Like if Green Bay gets asked questions about it, I don't know what you're talking about. Same with the Rodgers, because a number will probably be decided on, and they'll move on from there. But I don't think the rest of us are going to forget it. I think it would make us even more mad if we didn't have an answer. I just wanted to get your input on that.
It's interesting, because I would not be surprised if ultimately nothing happened. Now, it may hasten, Josh, thank you for your call. It may hasten the exit of Aaron Rodgers. So I don't think this is just my theory, when they drafted Jordan Love, that they were trying to force Aaron Rodgers out. I think they were just coming up with a contingency plan. He's an older quarterback. It's not that crazy. Not everybody plays until they're 40 or older, like Brady or Breeze or Peyton. And we know what happened with Peyton in his 40th year. Not every quarterback does that. I mean, look at what's happening with Ben Roethlisberger. He's got this one last chance here, but clearly he's not the same quarterback. It's just smart business to be ready for the next thing. And they felt like they could get Jordan Love. He was the guy they wanted. Okay, great. I don't think they intended for it to turn into this big thing. Now, maybe they didn't think it through. Maybe they kind of didn't follow this down the road to kind of think about what might happen. But I don't think they want Aaron Rodgers to play somewhere else at the end of his career. And so now it's kind of snowballed, and it's gotten you know, more and more dramatic, and maybe it's true. I like what Randy had to say. Maybe it's true that Aaron's camp dropped dropped this nugget on draft day just to get back at the team to kind of slight them. But ultimately, both of these parties, in my opinion, are better suited by doing absolutely nothing. Unless you're going to pay. And if this is just about money and you want to pay him extra, great, fine, do it. The salary cap is going to bounce back up next year. What's the big, fat, hairy deal? There's nothing, right? But the idea, though, that both of these parties, Aaron Rodgers as well as the Packers, are better off with each other is so, that to me is so clear. They're better off together. This team went back to back 13-3 seasons, had the top seed, the only bye in the NFC, hosted the NFC championship, had the league's best offense, the reigning MVP, a career season, Devontae Adams, top receiver in the league. Offense wasn't the issue, just as a side note. They are better together. They are a Super Bowl contender if they stand pat. But like any relationship, there are rocky moments. There are times when we do not see eye to eye. And sometimes we just have to agree to disagree, right? So, you know what? There are a lot of teams out there that would love to have the Aaron Rodgers problem on their hands. I mean, he's worth it if you can just get to the point where you can smooth things over. Because I do believe he wants to play. I think he's got something to prove, especially after the way last season ended. They're better off together. There isn't a team out there right now that is a Super Bowl contender that either has the assets or wants to break up their entire locker room and trade for Aaron Rodgers right now. The Buffalo Bills, they're not trading for Aaron Rodgers. The ship has sailed in terms of getting a bunch of draft capital and assets. I mean, you're going to break up your entire team at this point. If you're a Super Bowl contender, there's not a way to do that without just blowing it all up because of what Aaron Rodgers would command in return. So together, the Packers and Aaron Rodgers make a formidable opponent. If they split up and they start to go their separate ways, neither one will be happy. That's just my opinion. 855-212-4227. I'm going to give Mark 60 seconds. I'm not kidding. 60 seconds. Go.
Hey, Amy, this entire thing would not exist if the Green Bay Packers had confidence in Aaron Rodgers. And there's probably a lot more behind the scenes going on. But they took the ball out of his hands on fourth down in the NFC title game. If they didn't do that, he could just sit down on the bench and shut his mouth.
Yeah, but that was the coach's decision, not the GM. Apparently his beef is with the GM. I mean, I agree. I'd be mad too, but here's the dealio, yo. They squandered multiple opportunities. I get it. At the end of the game, it's staring you in the face. It could have gone differently. I hate the call for the field goal. That sucked. But man, Tom Brady threw three interceptions in the second half, and they could not capitalize. It was set up for them. It was delivered on a silver platter, and they did not play the way that they had all season when they needed to. So you're right. You can point to that one moment, but that's not how they lost the NFC Championship.
But it's how they lost Aaron Rodgers.
I don't think so. I mean, it sounds like his beef is with the GM, not with the head coach, but I mean, we'll find out. As you point out, there's a lot of information out there that may not be accurate. Mark, thanks so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. For those of you who follow us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, you've got our poll up. Also, you can find it on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. And something new that we're trying, because we have limited use or limited manpower, we're going to do a featured conversation on our YouTube channel once a month. And I did just host the conversation with Joe Castiglione, the University of Oklahoma athletic director. We got that up on YouTube, and so it's available on our social media there as well as on Facebook. I'm excited that we survived this week. It was a little bit nutty, a little bit upside down. I thought it would be easier, calmer coming off vacation. Not so much. And when we resume on Sunday night, we will have the playoff picture for both hoops and hockey. So enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you then. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.